This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Now, I do love how, and I think he really was genuine about it. Come watch the All 22. Now, explain to everybody what the All 22 is.
That's the coach's tape. That's what coaches see to break down film. You don't need the sound.
Why do they call it All 22?
Because it's 11 people on both sides of the field.
So you see
11 offense,
you see
all
everything.
Defense, you see everything. All right. 22. So you add the 22 people up. 11 plus 11 is
yeah, 22.
There's 22.
No carrying anything.
Okay, right. Absolutely. So it's like that. But yeah, I would have took him up on. Like, sure, I'll come in. And it'd be like, hey, well, why did you call this play? But it's one of those things, though. Like, I understand he's trying to defend and listen.
Well, he's defending his guy, but why he's doing that?
It's early on right now. You know what I mean? He's saying he lost 200 yards on the field,
which tells you players aren't executing.
Yeah. So any play you call, like, player got to out execute. Like, every play that you call is designed to beat the opposing team, right? And they think that they're calling something that's going to beat what you do. And then what happens is it's about execution, right? Mm-hmm. So it's also, you maybe didn't execute because that player's not capable, or it was a bad call against what they put up, right? So that's what you have to ask yourself. And, you know, going back to everything, you have to ask yourself, like with Zach Wilson, you don't want it to be a fracture in the locker room. You know, McGovern saying, hey, you know, he can't hold on to the ball like
he's
that.
He's not wrong.
No, he's not.
It was Greg Van Roten that said that, he's not wrong.
But the thing is, he's been around here too long to understand that you can't put that type of low-hanging fruit out here for media people hearing it. Because then, in turn, it's going to be asked in a very cunning way, unlike any other market in the world. It's going to be asked away to Zach Wilson where he may not see it coming and understand that he's a young player.
Right.
So you don't want to catch him, you know, hey, Zach, do you need to get the ball out? They're not going to say who said it.
Now, I've seen
and they're going to wait for him to say something. They would say, well, he'll say something back in response to protect himself. Well, like, you guys don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But they already know they got in their back pocket that they're going to say your teammate said it.
Yeah.
So then it must be true. So then now it's like,
are you saying we start fires?
I got you.
Are you saying we start fires? Because you're right.
You're habitual lying.
Now, I've seen a stat, though, that says that he only has about 1.7 seconds of time.
That's not
to make
true
a decision.
That's not true all the time.
Not all the time, no. Average, I think, time was like he's got one of the least amount of time to make a decision. But anyway, so again, we can use stats, go back and forth, but clearly it's ugly and it's got to get better. And as the games continue to come here, you're trying to figure out how will it get better and what are we looking at and why should we believe that it's going to get better.
They played three of the top five out of the five defenses in the league. They face the top three.
Carolina and Denver have some great defense. Speaking of great defense, we are now joined by Quinnen Williams, who joins us on the Goodyear Hotline from the New York
Jets. Babyface assassin.
And you know what, Quinnen, by the way, thanks for joining us. Appreciate your time here. And I know it's not easy to talk, you know, with anybody. And I saw some of your quotes from yesterday, and I actually like some of the stuff you said. It's not easy to talk. You're 0-3. You know what the messages are going to be. You know what the questions are going to be. But I do want to begin with that because – you know, you've been here through so far since you've been with the Jets. It's been like this, unfortunately. So is there frustration from you? We all as fans want to see trending up, light at the end of the tunnel. Oh, I can see the direction. I see where it's going. But right now at 0-3, it's hard for anybody to see it. Do you see it? Do you believe that things are changing compared to last year?
I definitely believe so, man. We have a great team, man. Great defense, great offense. Great quarterback, man. It comes down to, like every team, man, execute. It comes down to minimizing mental errors and minimizing mistakes. And once we do that, once we can control minimizing our mental errors and minimizing our mistakes, I feel like we got a great team and going into the great direction.
Now, with that being said, how much of the onus is on the defense to try and carry the load? Because you understand you have a new offense, you have a young rookie offensive coordinator, and you have a young quarterback behind center. So how much pressure are you guys putting on yourselves to make sure that you can make sure that they can afford to have a couple of mistakes because you guys can stand 10 toes down if they turn the ball over?
Man, not really putting that much pressure on. Well, I feel like the defense not really putting that much pressure. That's our job, man. At the end of the day, if a team can't score, they can't win. So, and that's why we get paid the money that we get paid, and that's why we get the players that we get, so we can stop teams from scoring. So, and that's our job at the end of the day. So, the offense can do what the offense can do. Everybody can do what everybody can do, but at the end of the day, if another team can't score, they can't win. So, but it also go back to complementary football. defense got to play well, special team got to play well, offense got to play well, and this league to get to where we want to go, and that's the Super Bowl. So definitely got to get everything complimentary. So
is that a conversation that you have with the offense? Like, believe in us, trust us, like a punt is a good thing. You don't have to force it. You know, because you talk about playing complementary football, you know, I've been part of that where offenses were behind the defense and, you know, it was for the defense to kind of take the lead and try and, you know, be able to win these ugly, boring games, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to have these conversations like, hey, man, don't force anything. Believe in us. We'll get you the ball right back and maybe we'll even get a turnover and be able to get you down there a little faster. Just don't force it. Don't put us in a bad situation. Because eventually we'll break. Like we need you guys to play complimentary, and a punt is a good thing. Do you guys have those conversations? Because a lot of times teams are separate, right? You know, offense kind of hangs with offense, defense kind of hangs with defense, and it's very few interactions, like in the lunchroom and different areas within the building. Do you guys have those conversations as a team?
Me myself, not really, because I don't know what goes on the offense, man. I don't know what those guys do and how they do it and the plays that they call, man. Really the main thing for me, Quentin Williams, is I can control what I can control. Every time I step on the field, no matter how many plays I play, I'm going to play 110%. And I feel like that's how everybody should go about it. Like, no matter what's going on, man, every time you step on that field, you should play 110% that you can. And I feel like we are professionals, man. At the end of the day, we know what we have to do. The offense know what they have to do. The special team know what they have to do. The defense know what they have to do. We all got to minimize our mistakes and go out there and execute every single play. But when it comes down to, I believe you want to say checking each other or, like, telling each other to trust, nah, because we all trust each other. We all believe in each other. We all know that's our brothers. Like, we all brothers, so we all know what we're supposed to do at the end of the day, and we got, so we good, so.
Quentin Williams joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. As you said, you control what you can control. Well, you had a sack and a half in the game against the Broncos. I mean, looking like, as Bart was mentioning to me during the break, like you're getting your legs under you after, you know, having the foot surgery, not having like, not, you know, having a full camp. But yet, are you feeling like you're getting to that point now? And where are you in your career? Just you individually, where are you right now in your career as you begin this season?
I feel like I am getting to where I want to be at off the foot surgery and different stuff like that. Like I told Bart the other day, it's like conditioning-wise is great. Strength, mental stuff, learning the playbook and different stuff like that is great. Only thing that I did have to, like, knock the rust off basically was just the reaction time, like, mm-hmm. The reaction time, just different stuff like that, the instincts on football that you can only get back to by playing football and different stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I feel like I got two games out the way, especially Carolina was a great team, and then Patriots was a great team to play against to get that instincts back rolling. I feel like I'm going to the right direction. Like, I make a lot of false steps and mental errors and different stuff like that when it comes down to executing also. So basically cleaning up a lot of stuff, man, so I can be that player that I want to be and be that player that the Jets need me to be. So,
yeah, Quentin, you know what I want to add? Because what we watch a lot of times, you know, high draft picks go to certain teams, and you come from, obviously, Alabama, where you guys never lose, right? It just seems like year after year, Alabama, yeah, number one. It's just that's the program, capital T, capital P. You know, Trevor Lawrence, you know, comes from winning and only winning, knowing only winning. And now, of course, he's in Jacksonville and they're struggling. And for him, it's like the first time I think he's ever lost three games in the same season, if not in a row. For you, again, yep, same situation. Now, you've been here, though, a little bit longer than him. But what is that like? Like, I think a lot of fans watch and they don't realize, like, a lot of you guys come from nothing but winning. Is it hard to adjust to it? Is it hard to deal with it mentally? Or is it all that success, you know, how does that work in you where you're just like, no, the success is coming. I know it's coming. Like, how does it work in you mentally to be on a team that has struggled now last year, obviously, and then this year, the start?
I think about it in two ways. Like, if you was on a team where everybody sucked and everybody didn't do what they're supposed to do, and you'll be sad about it. You'll be depressed about it because nobody likes losing. Like, nobody likes want to go out there every single Sunday and lose. But unfortunately, I'm not on a team like that. I'm on a team full of the winners. I'm on a team full of people who want to get better, who want to win, who want to succeed. It just is coming. You see what I'm saying? Like, I feel like it's coming. I feel like that wave is going to turn, and when it turns, it's going to be dangerous because we got a bunch of dogs on our team, bro. We got an amazing coaching staff, amazing head coach, and when we all pull it together, when we all minimize our mistakes, when we all go out there and execute as a team, three core on all 11, it's going to be dangerous. So I'm just doing everything I can do, and hopefully everybody on my team doing everything they can do, and I know they is, to make sure when that tide comes, we keep rolling and we keep going in the right direction about every day. So,
first of all, that's one roll tie. You just said it a different way. You can't get it out of your system. But how do you, as a veteran now, you're a veteran, but you're still a young
Amazing
player.
Amazing to say, right? Amazing to say.
Yeah, but you're a veteran. How do you pull the young players? Because you're the youngest team in the NFL. How do you pull those young players and get them up to speed? You know, how difficult is it for you to also be learning a new system yourself, transition from a 3-4 team to a 4-3 team? And also trying to be able that you can help the young guys with their questions and all the things that they may ask of you as a veteran.
I think the good thing is all of us, like no matter what age you was, no matter what year you was in, this year everything is new to everybody. Coaching staff new, playbook new. So as a rookie and as a vet, you guys also almost on the same level. The vet got a different process and stuff like that because I say you're on the same level because you both learning something new scheme, new, you know what I'm saying, new coaches. Mm-hmm. Everything is new to everybody. So I feel like that give us a closer chemistry than, you know what I'm saying, than a rookie coming into something I've been doing for 3 years. You know what I'm saying? So when it comes down to questions, man, they might have a question, but also a vet, you might have a question. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes down to different stuff, like just experience questions, like that, and like process questions, recovery questions, of course, like I can give them what I feel like my advice on that. But when it comes down to advice about the playbook and different stuff like that, we all have to go to our coaching staff for that. So,
all right, Quinnen, he said it. You heard the words. It's coming. It's coming. You might not see the results right now, but he's telling you it's coming. So the belief certainly stays in that locker room. Quinnen, thanks so much for a few minutes here. But before we let you go, though, I do want to ask you, though, about – and I want to make sure I get the wording right, so bear with me. You're part of the NFL's crucial catch mission, and it's something very near and dear to your heart, I'm sure.
Yes, sir.
Well, explain to the listeners about that and how you got involved with it. I don't know if all our listeners understand or know the background story about, you lost your
mind
at a young age.
Right, with you left the chair available for your late mother, correct? I think that's a terrific story that you could share with the listeners.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. When I was at the draft, I left a chair available for my mom that passed away, and a nice little quote and things that she used to say all the time inside the chair. But getting into the crucial catch was a huge thing of mine because I'm a American Cancer Society ambassador, and that was one of the first things I wanted to accomplish when I first got to the NFL was to become an ambassador for the American Cancer Society. And because my mom passed away from breast cancer when I was young, and I always educated myself growing up on breast cancer and knew the different things about breast cancer and knew the impact it can have on people's lives because it impacted my life with breast cancer. So I wanted to use my platform with being an NFL football player and just help out anything I can do within the community and throughout the United States, so anything I can do. And it was an amazing opportunity, one of the biggest things I ever accomplished, I feel like, was becoming an American Cancer Society ambassador and working with those guys and working with them and doing different events and different stuff like that. So,
yeah, and I see the long list of different things you have done with the American Cancer Society, a lot of different ways that you are giving your time to this. And like I mentioned before, I know it's certainly near and dear to your heart, that story about you and your mother and that moving scene on draft night with the chair, the message, and the flowers and everything else. Q, thanks so much, man. We appreciate you. Stay healthy. Have a great season.
All right, thank you.
Now go enjoy your off day, man. It's Tuesday. You ain't supposed to be working.
All right.
Quinnen Williams on the Goodyear hotline.
Good high-character guy. Everything they thought they were getting.
Remember we interviewed him, was it last year or the year before?
Mm-hmm.
And, he's a thoughtful guy.
Yeah.
But he's so much different now from talking to him. Where he's, you know, a lot more comfortable.
Well, he's finding his voice, right? Steve McClendon, clearly, who was a veteran there, like some people, like, you know, I remember Foley Fadakasi was supposed to do a show with me the next day. He was so broken up that McClendon had left that it brought him to tears that he couldn't handle it. You know, a lot of these guys on that defensive line has been forced to grow up because they leaned on guys like Steve McClendon because he had been there, done that, had been around for a long time. And you have to understand that in this league, you're always going to lose your leaders until you develop and become one yourself. And he's starting to understand that he has nobody to look to ask for questions or ask for answers. You know, he has Sheldon Rankins, who's a little senior, but, you know, he doesn't have that. So he has to become that.
Because well, it's now time guys for him to be the man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Guys are looking up to him. And you talk about last year, 7.5 sacks. That should have been like 10.5 sacks. He missed like 3 or 4 bunnies. But he really had a breakout year last year as he knew what it took to become an NFL player. Remember his first year maybe playing out of position for the first time because he had played predominantly nose tackle, you know, at Alabama, and moving to D tackle is a totally different space, playing in between the guard and in between the tackle where you can get double teamed all the time and did not know where it comes from. And, like, he came in with great shape. That's why I wanted to ask him, did he get his sea legs underneath him? Because you want to try and build off that momentum. And the first game, you can tell that he wasn't right as far as his hand play. He wasn't dominant. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't sudden. He wasn't making those instinctive counter moves. Everybody can make the first move, make the counter moves. And, you know, listen, he's a quality guy. I just hope that he doesn't get burnt out like Jamal got burnt out and say, hey.
That's why I asked him that question about, you know, you guys
are fatiguing. It's fatiguing.
You're an ultimate winner. You know, you played at Alabama. I mean, you're used to winning. You know, again, Trevor Lawrence, Clemson, you're used to winning.
Right.
And how does this affect a winner? And I loved his response. If I was around a team full of losers, guys who sucked, I'd be depressed. But I'm not around that. That certainly says a lot. So he says it's coming. That's what he said, Jets fans.
Enjoy the process.
Do you buy in? Of course, that was Quinnen Williams of the Jets giving a straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. All right, coming up, we do have audio files. Another former Patriot believes that Brady made Belichick rather than Belichick made Brady. Another one had to say this, Bart Scott. My God. You must listen to Audio Files next. We will get to your calls as well. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
You want him at what cost, though?
Well, you heard what Keyshawn talked to when we had him on earlier in the show. If you missed it, of course, you can hear it on the podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, look for Bart and Hahn. But with that in mind, though, what he's basically saying is, I, of course, wanted him back, but he had a better option, a better place to go, and that is Tampa. Would you argue that it was a better place for him to go after 20 years, Bart? I mean, eventually, you just kind of like, you know, the relationship starts to sour. It's like, man, I had enough of you. You've had enough of me. Like, Bill probably had enough of having to deal with the fact that this guy just keeps getting bigger and bigger, like, you know, ego-wise.
He called his own shot, right?
Like, he goes right to the owner now, he goes over my head. Like, yeah, exactly. He gets Jimmy G traded. Like, you understand. Like, I know everybody wants to take Tom's side on this, but I do want to take Bill's side for a second. Put yourself in that situation. I'm a coach. I got to be in control of my room.
He's a general manager,
this guy's getting
too.
Bigger and bigger, and he goes over my head now? Like, he can fly with the owner. Now, I know players get big time. They get like that. But there's certain coaches, Bill's one of them, that sort of needs it a certain way. And I need to make sure that no one else is bigger than me when it comes to this team. And Brady got bigger than him.
Yeah, but I mean, he deserved to be bigger. Was Michael
I'm not
Jordan,
saying he didn't deserve
was
it.
Was Michael Jordan not bigger than Phil Jackson?
Yes.
So, I mean, what are we talking about? Like, this dude is arguably the greatest athlete of all times.
But did Michael Jordan always defer to Phil Jackson, though? Yes. Michael Jordan never really kind of took the lead with the Bulls. He this is what we do. Okay. Well, like it's a little different.
Well, tell Bill to read a book called Psychology so he can work, you know, on Tom's brain. He should have been working on his brain. How you don't get to Tom is talking to him like a kid at 40 years old, and he's trying to tell you, what the hell are you talking about? I need to have some input. I've been giving you a discount, and realize what it's about. And really, really Bill thought, and I think Bill realized or thought that he could win without him, and it wasn't as easy as Tom made it look. Like,
clearly,
hey, I can win without him. I don't need anybody. I'm Bill Belichick. So the same way Tom Brady said, I'm Tom Brady, he said, I'm Bill Belichick. I won with the Giants. I won here. I've always been able to win. I can just make a new you. Mm-hmm. You heard that. You heard Jay-Z. If you made me Dame Dash, make a new me.
Well, that's what they're trying to do right now with Mac Jones. But, of course, on that topic is what came first, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick, right? Because Bill Belichick before Tom Brady was not a winner.
Yeah, he's about to get fired.
You know, I mean, did start turning around the Browns before all that fell apart for reasons that were out of his control. But then early on.
That was all Nick Saban.
early on, even in New England, it was not quite going well. So we've heard from a couple of past players that have talked about this whole dynamic of Bill without Tom or Tom. Tom's already won without Bill, and Bill will win without Tom. Here's Asante Samuel, who gives you his take on who really was all about the winning in New England. Ooh, so all right. So he says that Danny Amendola also was the one that said, too, it was more Brady than it was Belichick. Now, you mentioned Phil Jackson. This is probably the closest thing that Bill now will have to follow. Can he do what Phil did? Now, Phil went to another franchise and won with other stars. Left Michael, got Kobe, won with Kobe. So it's sort of like, yeah, I did it without Michael, too.
Yeah.
That's, I think, what everybody's looking at Bill. All right. Can you do it without Tom? Now, it doesn't mean he can't get a star. Like, he had Cam Newton. It didn't work. But he's got Mac Jones, who's supposed to be the Tom Brady, the TB12 2.0.
If you made Tom Brady, you started him off, you're starting Mac Jones off the same way.
Remake him, right. So that's, I think, what's left to be seen is, can he do it again? And then if he does, as Asante Samuel said, all right, then you're one of the greatest coaches of all time. But right now, because of what Brady did, Brady left and won. It's like if Michael Jordan went to the Wizards and won a championship.
Yeah.
Which didn't happen, of course, but it's like if that happened, and it didn't. So, again, that's a story there. It's a story that will continue throughout.
I think we can do audio files all week this week.
Yeah.
I think we'll do it tomorrow, and I'll have some more to say on that with the whole thing about
everybody will have a take on it.
Yeah, the system has went to different places, and it hasn't been successful. So other coaches have went and used the same system with Jay Cutler or used it with other people and still haven't had the success.
Yes, exactly. So, again, huge game this week, and, of course, the NFL loving every minute of it. Meanwhile, the NBA training camp's opening today. A lot of media days yesterday. A lot of things are said. And, of course, as we talked about earlier on, a big topic of conversation was who is and who isn't vaccinated and why. And that has been a story all around. In fact, LeBron James just said something today that I'll get to in a moment. We don't have the audio, but I do have some copy of it that lets you know why you have not heard from him yet on this topic as one of the leaders of the league. But before we get to that, Zion Williamson. Now, Bart, you did hear that he hurt himself before camp and now is not available early on, but they expect he should be available in time for regular season. But you are concerned about Zion once again, something else holding him back. But the bigger story about Zion going into the season was stories that have surfaced about how his family's not happy with him in New Orleans and that maybe he really doesn't want to be there either. And does he want to get out of there? And is New Orleans now facing yet again having to trade a star player who just doesn't want to be here that they drafted?
Should be number three, right?
And Chris Paul, Anthony Davis. And now would it be Zion? So, of course, Zion you have to ask him, all right, do you like it here? Do you want to be here? So he's happy. Again, I thought it was a smart way to answer it. I'm glad you asked that question. I'm glad nobody's actually asked me. It's always been sources and reports and everything else. Mm-hmm. So he put it on the record. I am happy here. I like it here. I don't want to be anywhere else.
I wish I could see his face.
He was smiling.
Huge smile on his face. But it was something different when he talked about New York, the gleam in his eye.
Oh, it's the garden.
It was like a dream to him.
Yes. Yeah. He literally loved playing at the Garden. But
when you want to play every day?
It's the smartest thing. I thought we had that Zion on my page from when he did say that. And I don't think I have it, so I can't go to it. But it is clearly for Zion the only thing he can say.
Yeah.
He can't.
He got two years left on his deal.
Exactly. Like, and even beyond that, because they have a lot of control over him in your rookie deal.
Yeah.
So for him to just come out like, we'll see how it goes.
You know what I want to ask him?
You think he really wants to deal with that?
I want to ask him, Zion, are you happy with the design of your shoes? The worst design basketball shoe.
No.
Now you think about, he's with Jordan Brand, right?
Yes.
So you got the Durant. You got the Kobe's.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his shoe worse than Kawhi, and he with New Balance. Like, I look at that shoe like, what? Okay, I get the whole Z, man, but this is not a tight look, man. Like, we need
these
shoes are horrible.
As long as it doesn't break apart like the one at Duke did.
Man.
All right. Anyways, just real quick here, because that's audio files. So LeBron did speak about the vaccination debate or discussion. Discussion that's going on among NBA players. And he was sort of asked why he's been so hands-off about it, since he is, probably the most prominent player in the players' union. And he said, I can speak about myself. I think everyone has their own choice to do what they feel is right for themselves and their families. I know that I was very skeptical about it all, but during my research, I felt like it was best suited for not only me, but my friends. That's why I decided to do it. Now, his explanation about why he is not speaking up about it, I will tell you that next. Barton Hahn, we are brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. So, why LeBron is staying hands off, and also why the Yankees have not talked to Aaron Judge. Both those things coming up next. Barton Hahn.
What a cliffhanger.
ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. So as I was saying, you all right?
I keep forgetting to put this in. Back.
See, because I had to run.
We got one more segment, man.
I had to run to turn the damn air off because it's so cold and I forgot to unplug myself.
I had nothing to do with it. You know what's funny, though? Wherever I go now, when I see people, they're always like, 68 degrees. Like, they put their fists up. Like, we're like, it's like a nation now of 68 degree people.
You should get it, and I'm going to get one 70.
Yeah, and you'll get this. By the way, when are we getting the Barton Hahn hoodies hooked up?
I'm working on it. I meet my friend tomorrow. She's in the fashion industry. We're going
to
get that thing designed up right, get the right fabric and stuff like that. I know you like these fake hoodies.
Not fake.
No, what I'm saying, you don't like them real thick.
No, I like those tech ones. They're comfortable.
Nice stretchy little Pema.
I don't like puffy hoodies.
Because you like to show off your muscles. Like some people like to be bare. You like to like show off that you're
strong. Yeah, I don't like big puffy hoodies.
You like to show off your Peloton
body.
Come on. You know what I'm saying? Lean and mean. You know what I mean?
But there's the puffy hoodies when you're tall. Don't look good, man.
Sometimes I get a little pudgy. Sometimes when you get a little pudgy, you know what I mean? You want to hide those.
Yeah, like lay around the house.
Yeah, you like construction worker.
All right, before we get to the baseball stuff, we got very little time here. Let's quickly. So LeBron, like I was mentioning, gave a reason why he's not really speaking out about the vaccination discussion among players. And he said, I don't talk about other people and what they should do. I speak for me and my family. That's what it's about. He said, when we're talking about individual bodies, we're not talking about something political or racism or police brutality. We're talking about people's bodies and well-being. I don't think I personally should get involved in what other people should do for their bodies and livelihoods. That'd be like me talking about if somebody should take this job or not. Listen, you have to do what's best for you and your family. I know what I did for me and my family. I know some of my friends did for their families. But as far as speaking for everybody and their individualities, I think they want to things they want to do. That's not my job. So that's what's going on with the players. And he's saying it's your choice. But understand, he's not saying this, but everybody else is.
Yeah.
Your choice can lead to you not being available for your team, and that affects the business. So this is a story that isn't going away anytime soon.
Yeah.
But now, again, I hate to keep rushing through this, but we got a lot to do here. Time for the Progressive Major League Baseball Snapshot. It's brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more. All protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. Aaron Judge in the New York Post. This is very interesting. Aaron Judge has had a fantastic season. He has been healthy, and he and Giancarlo Stanton have been terrific. It's everything else that's gone wrong for them. Interesting story, though. Asked about whether or not he has spoken to the Yankees about an extension, a new contract for him, as he's up for one more year of arbitration. He said, no, we haven't. He also added, it's a good question. Hmm. Have they even talked? He said, no. The ball's kind of in their court. I'm just a player. I do my job every day. I'm not going to go running to anybody saying, let's talk about this. That's their job to do. That's what they get paid for. I'm getting paid to be out here in the field. So one more year arbitration before he becomes a free agent.
So
they've got to figure out. He's 29. He hasn't always been healthy, but he is this year, and his numbers are terrific. Do they lock him up or not? Huge story for the Yankees coming up in the offseason.
It's a classic story of betting on yourself, because if they offer him something, it's not something he wants, because he say, no, I'm good, I'm just going to play it out.
Oof.
Or if they go on some type of magic carpet run, how does that work if he's able to get this team to the World Series? Then they have to pay him.
Well, that's a great story too, right? If they do go on a run, I mean, they've won six in a row. They start a very important series now with the Blue Jays. We'll see if they can hold off the Blue Jays
and stay in first, right?
What do the Rays want to do? So certainly a lot to watch with the Yankees all of a sudden and where they are going. We want you to tune into the NL East battle tonight. The Braves and the Phillies. Coverage begins 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Bart, we are done today. And we will see everybody tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Ahala.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.